I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Sunday, February 15th, 2026, and I am constantly being told that the vast majority of Canadians support the gender nonsense, that the vast majority of Canadians support this so-called progressivism, which is indoctrinating our children, and I just don't believe it. If one quarter of Canadians are new Canadians, as some people say, those Canadians, those heavily immigrant communities, do not support this nonsense at all. And I would say neither do the old stock Canadians. And yet somehow it keeps proceeding forward. And I think it's a lack of courage more than anything. I don't think it's because people support it. I think it's a lack of courage on the part of the people. And I think it's a lack of courage on the part of leadership for somebody to actually stand against it. I don't think they realize the silent majority, that there's an iceberg that you can see, and then there's the great big volume of ice that is underneath the water of people who are sick of the nonsense. Like what's on screen, Shakespeare was a black woman, book claims. Bard was a female Jew of North African origin, feminist historian argues. Can you be calling yourself a historian when you're doing and engaging in this revisionist nonsense? The attack on history is very real. So is the attack on culture. Have you seen any of the reviews of Starfleet Academy? Save yourself the trouble of actually tuning into the show. Just watch the reviews. Nobody's into this. And this is why I say there's a silent majority out there begging for representation, because very few people actually want this redesign, but it's the silence that people are engaging in, thinking it will protect them. Has silence worked for you? And since we're talking about the UK, let's have a look. Debanking hits record high. Telegraph investigation reveals nearly 500,000 accounts were shut down in 2025 alone, largely for political reasons. This is a country that's putting people in jail for memes and online comments, innocuous words. Remember when sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? We have definitely flipped that on its head, and now banking institutions don't want to be associated with people who use risky words. And so they're denying them the privilege of banking. But it gets worse for the UK. This article, titled UK's Insane New Trans Guidance, says school kids as young as 4 can change gender. They just had the CAS review in the UK, which indicated that this entire gender nonsense is a total failure and it's harming children. It's not helping children. That being said, there's nobody strong enough in the UK government to actually stand up to this nonsense. Now, there are those who will push back and say that, here's a quote, social transitioning in primary schools should happen very rarely. It shouldn't happen at all. But some will say they're guiding that it shouldn't have it, like that it should happen very rarely. The key word is should. And the key is any government institution or legal body going to actually deal with the activist teachers and counselors who are driving this nonsense? Because if we look to Canada, we understand that being trans-identified or being trans-aligned grants you legal immunity from just about any scrutiny. It turns scrutiny into bigotry. Children will be allowed to change the agenda and adopt different pronouns as young as 4. I have a 4-year-old myself. The idea that that child is capable of making such a decision, that I'm supposed to tell that child that that decision is real, well, I'll tell you, over my dead body, will never happen. I don't care what law you pass. I don't care what you call me. I don't care if you target me. I don't care if you destroy me. I'll go to the ground, because I would rather be dead than a willing participant in this contest. And here I am before you with my face and my name. I couldn't be any clearer. And I hope that the example that I'm setting would encourage other people to be just as outspoken, because right now your children need champions. And what is normal and decent needs champions. And the more champions there are, the more chance we have that our political leadership might decide to tap into the hidden iceberg. Now, we're getting famous in Canada, you better believe it, for all the wrong reasons. Let's have a listen to Asman, who is a Warcraft streamer, who is paying a lot of attention to Jeffrey Epstein and paying a lot of attention to this particular issue. Canada is becoming world famous.
What? Wait, what? A trans man in Canada who stabbed his... Wait, What?
Good morning. It's your favorite hobo you love to hate. I just wanted to do a check-in, let people know that I am
safe.
I'm being secure.
Atwood was arrested but then released until the next court date. An 8-year-old child whose esophagus was severed in the attack faces several months on a feeding tube. Atwood's social media platforms, including Discord and Facebook, have had posts mentioning the attack since their arrest. I stabbed a hole in her shoulder, yes, but I held it shut until EMS arrived. Yes, I stabbed her, but I didn't slash her like that at all. I was trying to remain optimistic given my situation, but it doesn't mean I haven't been remorseful. It sucks and I apologize. I'll just take my space and do my therapy.
Taking care of my needs, and I am just chilling until I actually go for my sentencing. And I did kind of realize that we do have a highly unique opportunity here, whereas I'm someone who did something heinous and I'm on social media, whereas pretty much all the other people who do something heinous get locked in a box and blocked out from society, and they don't get to talk to them. So
and if it was up to me, it'd be you too. Anybody that does this should just be lucky they're not being harvested for their organs.
Canada is gaining renown around the world for being the heart of the absurdity, a heart of the tragedy. The real tragedy here, the real tragedy is obvious. This dude altered the lives of two children violently. They will never recover from the psychological scars, let alone the physical scars. One of them on a feeding tube. And our justice system, because he's trans, decided to let him go awaiting sentencing. He is living in a van with Every Child Matters painted on the side of it. He's on social media, influencing people, doing TikToks about tarot cards, and talking about how he closed the wound that he caused, and somehow that is supposed to be a saving feature. And the judge was just like, sure, go on. Go back out into society. Violent offender just gets released. On screen, we have another thing that we are famous for now. We have now reached gun person level of absurdity. This article was pinned to the top of Zero Hedge for 36 hours. By now, you've surely heard about Tuesday's horrific school shooting in Tumbler Ridge, a tiny remote Canadian town where the basic excitement is probably a moose spotting on next door that left 9 people dead and more than 24 injured. Monstrous would be an insult to monsters everywhere. It's the deadliest mass shooting Canada has seen in more than 30 years. The details are unimaginable. The community is destroyed. Survivors are traumatized for life. And none of it is even remotely funny. The news coverage, however, could easily be nominated for a primetime Emmy in the Outstanding Comedy Writing category. I disagree. It would be a tragedy. In the tragedy, female in dress. Within minutes of the rampage, alerts went out describing the suspect as a female in a dress. The minute I saw it, I knew. Everyone knew. Everybody with a thinking brain knew when you describe somebody as a female in a dress, because it's not unusual for a female to wear a dress. It is unusual for a dude to wear a dress. And I gotta tell you, as we gain infamy, I don't see anywhere on the horizon to hope that anyone in political leadership will actually come to their senses. Now, we know Mark Carney won't, because he has this issue within his own family, so we can just mark him off the calendar. He's not coming to the rescue. He's not going to advocate for sense in this because he's fully engaged with the ideology. The only hope we have is Polyev and the Conservative Party, but I'll tell you, that's a fading hope too. First off, let's examine C4, which is only the most recent iteration of the so-called conversion therapy ban. Now, law in the criminal code criminalizes practices, treatments, or services designed to change someone's sexual orientation to heterosexual, change someone's gender to cisgender, change or repress gender expression to match sex assigned at birth, or repress non-heterosexual attraction, behavior, or non-cisgender identity. This applies to practices, treatments, or services. So you as a private individual, you as a citizen, still have your free speech. You as a parent can still protect your children. You're the only one that can. Your politicians have abandoned you. Your professionals have abandoned you. These people, even if they disagree with it, they trade the future of our country. They trade the sanctity of childhood for a paycheck. That's how shameful this all is. They kowtow to the law like a bunch of cowards. And yes, If I'm talking to you, think about that. Retool your life. Fix your life. Build it in such a way that you can start speaking out. Because we are destroying children with this stuff. Now, the Conservative Party of Canada has a very long history. So, like I said, Bill C-4 is just the latest. If we go back and we look at history, the poly of conservatives and the Conservative Party that he leads have been voting for this for a long time. This is the voting record from June of 2021 and December of 2021, where they voted to pass C-6. And the entire Conservative Party did. Now, here's the issue. Bill C-6 was actually slightly milder than Bill C-4. C-4 is a stronger bill. And the Conservative Party was happy to vote for it. Bill C-6 fully banned for minors conversion therapy, causing a minor to undergo conversion therapy to was criminalized outright. Conversion therapy, it's also an Orwellian term, because what is banned is not conversion. Conversion is mandated, telling a child that they're okay in the body they're born in and that their natural unfolding DNA should be allowed to do so uninterrupted, that they should be allowed to get through puberty. They should be protected from blocking puberty. They should be protected from cross-sex hormones. That's what's banned. Staying the same, not conversion, but in an Orwellian twist, they call it conversion therapy. Now, it was banned for minors. Now, it's a complete ban. It was the final law. It became the law, C-4. And it, for adults, C-6, only banned if done without consent. So an adult could undertake conversion therapy, so-called conversion therapy, coaching to stay the same and stay healthy. I don't even know, like, the problem with Orwellian language is it's so hard to explain because it makes so little sense. Anyway, it was banned only for those if it was done without consent, but C-4 bans it for anybody. Even if you want it, you can't get it in Canada. Even if you want psychological help with your dysphoria, you can't get it. You used to be able to under C-6 if it became law, but under C-4, you can't. There's nobody that can help you get comfortable with the body you're born in. The only answer is double mastectomy. The only answer is something called bottom surgery, where they cut your balls off and they create a vacuum that is dirty and stinky and isn't actually a vagina. This is the stuff that people are undergoing. When you tell a 4-year-old kid, you tell a 6-year-old kid, when you tell an 8-year-old kid that they can pursue this stuff, you're marching them down a pathway to the kinds of alterations, to the kinds of sick pseudoscience that would have made Mengele blush, or at least would have been in competition with the worst excesses of the Nazi regime. Consensual conversion therapy under C-6 for willing adults would have remained legal, but under C-4, there is no exception. There's literally no professional, no counseling option, no psychological option. You cannot get help to become comfortable in your own body. The only thing you can do is alter it irreversibly with all the risks that are inherent in that. And the Conservative Party of Canada voted for it. Further to this, we're going to go to the comments. Remember this from before. The Crown prosecutors requested 7- and 8-year sentences for the two organizers of the Freedom Convoy truck protest who obstructed traffic, and there was some horn honking. They wanted to put them in jail for 7 or 8 years, and lucky for them, the courts actually seem to be working. There's still a lot left to do. But the Crown prosecutors are only requesting 5.5 years for a man who stabbed his 7- and 8-year-old children. Why? Because of the big trans blind spot that we have. It's kind of funny and tragic how something can be, it can be illegal to tell a person that dysphoria might be temporary. It's illegal to tell a person that they're okay in the body they were born in. It's okay to, it's not okay to tell them that they should keep all of their body parts. You can't do that. But at the same time, the judicial system has kid gloves on when it comes to dealing with these people because they're mentally unstable. How can both things be true at the same time? How can it be normal and true and perfect to surgically alter and chemically alter your body from something that it would never be under natural circumstances? We call that normal and healthy. How can it be true at the same time that they're giving kid gloves under the judicial system because of the mentally disturbed state that they are in. Now, once again, I want to call out to the CBC, specifically the CBC, since we pay for it. They do exposés roughly every 3 months on the threat of white wing nationalism in this country. So there's a bunch of men, they happen to be white, they meet in parks, they're the Second Sons or the Soldiers of Odin or whatever iteration we're on, Diagolon, whatever. And every time they meet to do some calisthenics in a public park, there's a CBC journalist hiding in a bush to take pictures and dox everybody. Can they do the same for the trans community? Because it's easy for me. I can go online. I can go into trans groups and I can read the calls for violence. I can read the cognitive dissonance. I can read the building tension. It's like a spring, and every now and again it pops, like it just popped in BC. And we have to go to the Telegraph now. Funny thing, we have to go over to England, the heart of darkness, to actually get some light shed on the subject of something that happened right here in Canada. A teen school shooter created online game simulating mass attack. Roblox said it has deleted Jesse Van Rootseler's account and is assisting investigators. How many red flags? How much RCMP involvement? Everybody knew that this was a declining situation. It was public. The dispute within the family was public. The activities of the perpetrator were public for anybody to find. If the RCMP was so involved, how could they not know this? The answer really isn't in a lack of knowledge. It's that we have a great big blind spot when it comes to anybody that identifies as trans. Look, people don't even have to be legitimately trans. Men get caught for crimes and they just magically start identifying as women because they have no scruples and they have no morals and they recognize a legal loophole where they see one. And that's how we had things in the past. I'm not going to show it, but we have past instances where men are in the woman's bathroom at rape shelters, taking pictures of themselves in the mirror with raging hard-ons. They're rubbing it in our faces, this blind spot. And it's also a great big opportunity for anybody that has malintent, real, genuine, darker malintent towards children. You could argue it's all malintent, but I think there's worse aspects of it. When you create a legal blind spot, when essentially somebody can identify as trans and the only answer that society has is yes, and any scrutiny you want to place on that individual is labeled as bigotry, so everybody's afraid to place that scrutiny, you create a great big opportunity for the exploitation of those who are vulnerable. And the only way to fix that, and that's the bottom line, the only way to fix that is moral courage. We created something called childhood. In the wake of the Second World War, it didn't really exist before that. Children were, it was a very short period of time, and you were whipped into shape to go work in the coal mine, to go work in the field. After 45, we decided that childhood was something we should create, and we should allow children to explore, to play, to flower as children. And now it's under assault, and not from people who want to put them to work. You could argue that some work in a child's life is actually a good thing. They're under assault from people who just want to manipulate and exploit them and start them down the road, a road the Canadian government has mandated towards double mastectomy, towards bottom surgery, towards irreversible cross-sex hormone therapy and puberty blockers and Mengele-esque alterations, which the Conservative Party of Canada has supported. And people say, and I read it in the Twitter comments all the time, the Conservatives have to do this because the majority of Canadians agree with it. The majority do not. They're kowtowed. They're scared to speak out because the activists are so loud and oftentimes so violent and the law is so skewed and misunderstood that people are fearful for a variety of reasons. They want representation. And if they were given representation in the privacy of the ballot box, they would mark an X. And most of those people, the 40-odd percent of people who stay home for federal elections, a good percentage of them would come out to support common sense. What common sense needs, what a restoration of reality and decency needs, is a champion. And if it's not going to be Polyev, then we need to find it in separation. Because for 100 different reasons, all the different reasons I cover on my channel, this country has failed its people. And this country has failed its most vulnerable people, its children. And if there will be no federal champion, there must be provincial champions, champions that want to seek to turn those provinces into independent countries. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.